Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. It's titled Unloving. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. Father, thank you tonight for your word. God, thank you for the promise of Scripture, Lord, that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, that you are always faithful. Lord, I pray tonight, God, in a mighty way, Lord, that your word would speak to us, that it would comfort us, Lord, even though we're watching things that are troubling in the perspective of the worldly sense. God, as followers of Christ, they're very comforting, Lord, because it shows that what your word promised, God, is being fulfilled exactly how it was promised. Hide me behind the cross, God, so that you might speak to hearts as only you can tonight. May you be glorified, lifted up, and honored. And we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is honestly a pretty intense few verses, isn't it? How many people are reading that, though, and then going, wow, that's spot on. Wow, that reminds me of right now. Anybody? Verse 1 again. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. First thing I want to share with you tonight is from that verse. That is, God promised us that the last days would be very difficult. Not just difficult, but very difficult. Difficult times will come in the last days. We see all through Scripture about the pain, the suffering, the heartache, the persecution. How many times are we hearing about people that are being tortured for Christ, tormented simply because they love Jesus? Not just being mistreated, but we're seeing people arrested all over China still. As a matter of fact, they're rationing down exponentially now in China. It's really, the more the surveillance state has unfolded, the more egregious the things that are happening now to Christians in China, literally worldwide for that matter. See, God promised us that things were going to be tough. God promised us that there would come a time in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, that men would not stand for sound doctrinal teaching, but will gather around them many teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. I skimmed it just a little bit today, but they were taking a pop shot at Phil Driscoll today. If you know who Phil Driscoll is, he's a pastor of a really big church. He was the founding pastor, I think, of Mars Hill Church, and he left there, he went out and started another church, really big and doing real well. You know, oh, they're saying he's a cult, he's a blah, blah. You know, I just sit here and I go, my goodness gracious, man. John MacArthur, you know, they're all over John MacArthur last year for having church during COVID. You know, hell's real, and people are going to a place called heaven or a place called hell. You know what is astounding? You turn on that filth box at home, and if you do it, shame on you. If you tune into ABC, CBS, and NBC, you ought to be ashamed of yourself because you are nothing but a sheeple. I'm sorry if that offends you, but guess what? I'm not sorry because you are a sheeple. And you will listen to that, and the people that listen to that filth get on there, and they get in their cars, and they run to the store. They're sitting in line for hours. Did you see the pictures? I didn't watch the news. I saw pictures of it. Hours. 3 and 4 hours at a gas station. Why? Because they're scared they'll run out of gas. They won't drag somebody to church on Sundays. Can't get there half the time on time. I don't want to get sick, so I'm not going to school. Oh, we better go get some gas. Stand in line for 3 hours in a line, stacked 10 deep full of people, no masks on. Oh, I'm not going to church, so I might get COVID. I'm sorry, y'all. There's such a duplicitous double standard. I'm not going to church at Walmart 4 times the very week that they won't come to church because of COVID. I'm sorry. It is duplicitous. It's a double standard. It's bunk. Don't tell me. Now, if you stay at home and don't go anywhere, and you've called all your groceries in, okay, I respect that. You're just scared to go anywhere. But when you go out to Walmart and stand in Walmart, but you won't come to church, I'm sorry, we got some problems. And you won't stand before me. You'll stand before God. That's between you and Jesus. That has nothing to do with me. I'm not your daddy. I am nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm an under shepherd. I'm a servant. Amen? So that's between you and the Lord. But when you're scared of a virus and you're not scared of hell and somebody going there and you'll sit at home for a year because you're scared to death of a virus, but yet hell is forever. This is a place that real people will go for an eternity. This is serious business. The gas, quote unquote, shortage. There ain't no shortage of gas. People are gorging themselves with fuel right now. Worried to death, panicking. And nobody's scared about hell. Nobody's scared that there's a righteous God we'll stand before one day. And I'm talking about the worldly perspective right now. I know, in all honesty, most of you have a very serious love, respect, and fear of God. And that has driven your desire to love, glorify, honor, and serve Him because you recognize that it's a real. You recognize that the love of God's real also, and that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is what paid that atonement, that wrath of God, and that's why we can stand in His presence tonight without fear of judgment because of that gift of salvation. But it's been very hard for me, church, when I have been out and around and I see churches, people that represent churches that just, some of them just went back, some of them have not gone back still. And my question is to them, how in the world have you gotten groceries? Well, I go to Walmart. It kills me. It does. It kills me. Are you serious? At most, we'll have 150 people in here. You tell me how many people walk through the doors of Walmart on any given day, and you think you've got less risk there than being here? March around the aisles for an hour and a half, breathing the... Oh, I have my mask on. Oh, please don't go there. Please don't go there with me. It won't end well. You're so worried about it, you should have done your mobile order and sat outside and let them put it in your trunk. You don't even have to touch them or talk to them. Amen? Again, it's duplicitous. And that's what I'm speaking to in this right here. Because this talks about the difficult days. Why? Because we're going to go to verse 2 now and 3. For people will be lovers of self. We know what that is, self-service. Amen? Lovers of money, boastful and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving. Oh, big one. Irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good. Whew. Get on down, man. That's tough. Second thing I want to share comes out of those, and then we'll speak to those two verses. Being completely consumed with self is a sign of the last days. We're watching a generation. We're watching a nation. We're watching people that are professed followers of Christ. They're still so consumed with themselves, they have no room for anybody else. You don't think that's true? You go to any given church anywhere in North America. How much work's being done by how many people? Huh? Anybody know? Less than 20% of the people do 100% of the work in churches. By the way, 20% now is generous. We have a lot of people here that serve compared to most churches. I know that. We have a very generous church here that gives to the kingdom work, not to mine. It ain't nothing to do with me. It's nothing to do with the law. Hey, we have an incredible, as a matter of fact, we go completely against what the average is in all of my pastor friends' churches. That's why it makes me sad, and I don't talk whenever they start talking about how they're struggling and how they don't know how they're going to keep the doors open. I don't say what, because, you know, I don't want to appear like we're boasting. If they ever ask me, I said, God's been so good. That's what I always say. But see, most of the churches and pastor friends of mine, hey, one of them right now, big church in Franklin, dear friend of mine, I've known him since I was about 12 years old. So how's it going, man? Man, I'll tell you what. We started back a few weeks, only got 40% of the people that are arguing. How many people y'all have lost to COVID? Not one. Wow. I said, we've lost three people, brothers and sisters in Christ, in our body of Christ. And I said, you know what? I have not heard it. Maybe it's happened, I haven't heard about it. I said, I've not heard people arguing and carrying on. I said, you know what I believe? That's our people understand that, you know what? God's bigger than COVID. And God knows our days that have been ordained before the foundations. So he's bigger than all of this stuff. And you know what? Our eyes are focused on Christ. We're focusing on the finish line. But see, if not, you get focused on some foolishness. And you end up out in the hallway on the ground choking each other half to death, right? Well, what good you doing? But it happens. And he's all discouraged. He's doesn't know what to do. And I told him, I said, brother, God allowed you to be blessed with that level of suffering because I would not do well with that. I wouldn't. Because heaven's serious and hell's serious and the gospel needs to go forth. And I might get just discouraged, throw up my hands and walk out the door. Because I'd be so discouraged if I was my brother, but he's got a really good personality. He's a real chill kind of guy. But I can't imagine when you'd only have 4 out of 10 people that have come back after a year in 3 months. 4 out of 10. The rest of them said, hey, we're still nervous to come back. Are y'all going to work? That's what my question would be. How are you getting grub? Y'all about to starve out there. Well, we go to Walmart, right? You know what I'm saying? That's when I would ask those nice questions. Do we need to start getting your groceries for you? Oh, no, I go to the store. Oh, really? They don't have COVID. Which store is doing that? I want to go to that one. Because I want to go to that store where they've not got any of those kind of things that you might get exposed to. But again, we've got to be careful because it becomes duplicitous. What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe that we can serve the God that I'll have an abortion, I'll go pay for an abortion, but it's okay because why? Well, it's my body. It's just not my thought. It's not my issue. I don't know what God you're serving, but you ain't serving the God I'm serving. The God that I'm serving says that all life's important. Not the life that you think is convenient or at the right time. But see, you better be careful because I'll tell you what, you allow that filth to pervade your mind, you'll fall into that and you'll justify it. May God have mercy on your soul. I'm telling you. You think it's not a big deal to support political candidates that are for that. You just keep thinking it because I'm going to tell you you're in direct contradiction with God's word, plain and simple. It doesn't matter what I think. It's the truth. You either are standing firm. It doesn't have anything to do with the political party. It has to do with what do you, at the end of the day, where's your heart of hearts? What if they lie? That's between them and God. That's between them and God. But when they will avow avidly right in front of you, unashamedly show their support or say, well, that's not my decision to make. Well, guess what? We got a problem. Especially when we have another candidate that says, I don't believe in it. Because you need to stand up for what's important spiritually. And I'm going to tell you one thing. There is one thing you vote for first and foremost when you go to a politics. Let's tell you this. Ready? When you go to the voting booth, you better vote your Bible. Don't you dare. May God have mercy once again on you if you ever vote your wallet. You know why? Because you have done nothing then but bow down. You might as well stick your bank account and your wallet on the ground and get on top of it and start worshiping it because that's what you've done if you've not voted what God's word says over financial blessing that, right, somebody's promising you. Well, you can't make it. Oh, don't keep on telling yourself the foolishness that you're believing because you'll sell yourself a lie, hook, line, and sinker. See, be completely assumed with self is that sign of the last days. It's believers that are duplicitous in that. It's not a big deal. It doesn't affect me. Yeah, right. The same way you'll watch a defense attorney who will defend someone who's been grievously murdered, get a murderer who is absolutely guilty of it off. I've often had the thought, what happens when it happens to one of their family members? I bet all of a sudden there's a change of heart, isn't there? See, it's real easy to want to stand up and make a good living. I've often struggled with watching these very high-profile attorneys. And I've actually known some personally that I got a little bit uneasy for in inside feeling, thinking, man, this person's going to have to stand before God one day. Because I've known personally some that prided themselves on finding loopholes to get people to walk free. There's a Bible verse about this. It says, calling good bad and bad good. I'm just going to be honest with you. It scares me. Now, do I think that a person shouldn't be defended? No. But my thing is, what you want to do is try to get them the best deal. If they've done it, let's get them the best deal possible, right? Because that's what you should do. But to try to find a technicality to have someone who is completely and utterly guilty, why? Well, they didn't do... There's that. To me, that's very dangerous. Because what have we just recently dealt with? They let a number of inmates out that were very serious crimes, let them out. You know what happened in short time? With a number of them have killed people. See, this is the thing about it. You can either want truth, you can want righteousness, you can want justice, and you can want a culture of laws. What is law based on? A moral standard. A moral standard's the thing that with which an entire culture is based upon a civilized culture. It's the very fundamental thing of, well, when you go and you put a stop sign up, have you ever noticed the majority of people stop at it? You ever thought about that? You might go in and do something bad in your lifetime, but you'll see 99.9% of people stop at red lights. Why? There's a motivation. The motivation is you get T-boned and could die if you don't. That's a good motivation, isn't it? I don't know why the alcohol and drinking and driving thing hadn't clicked in yet. For whatever reason, I guess it's not a high enough percentage rate. But there is for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You run a red light. Well, guess what? You can also get a driving award. What is that? The person comes behind you and throws on the light show and tells you how amazing your driving is and gives you a ticket. It's called a driving award. Aren't they wonderful? You know what? Thank the Lord, and I have deserved 1,000 of them, but I haven't had one since about 1991 or 90. I'm very thankful for that fact. Yes, I probably have deserved more than Eddie. Don't make me start calling y'all out. No. I probably have deserved bunches of them. But civilized society and law is built to what? Maintain order. So that you feel safe in your home. You want to have a little operational awareness thing? Go to Thailand. You know what they do in Thailand? Think they lock their doors? Unless they've started, they don't. You know why? Go steal. Find out what happens. They cut your hand off. The second time, they don't have to worry about you stealing anymore. Because you have no hands. But they have a very low serious crime rate. They have their normal pickpocketing and stuff like that. But in another place, Saudi Arabia. Go to Saudi Arabia. Get caught in Saudi Arabia stealing. They don't play with you over there. What have people said about America? Anybody? No? Slap on the wrist. Not going to do anything. Does that help curve behavior and change attitudes and actions? So that's what I think we're seeing right here with our culture, because we're consumed with self. It doesn't. No one else matters. The only person that matters is me. Doesn't matter about everybody else that needs gas to go to work, to take their kid to a doctor's appointment. For a mom or a dad that is on chemo, what about somebody on dialysis? It doesn't matter about them. As long as I've got enough for me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world has toilet paper. As long as I've got 9,680 rolls so I can stay here for 6 years, it doesn't matter about the rest of the world. But that's what happens. The Bible says, in the end times, the love of most will grow cold. See, look at verses 4 and 5. I'll go back up to 3. Unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is this. A form of godliness without God is a sign of the last days. Again. Now, what's interesting is I was sitting there going, you know, I could have just literally gone one after another tonight of these things. Could have. We don't have the time. What I want you to be aware of is, as I was battling with my righteous anger in thinking about others that needed something, make sure that your anger stays righteous. And I say this because I think it's important for you all to see that I'm just like you, in the sense that sometimes you just want to say, let me straighten a couple people out. Maybe they'll straighten a few out, and next thing you know, we'll all be singing Kumbaya. But you can't do that, because then all you do is you wash away the ability to do anything righteous and godly and enable yourself to be a reflection of God's glory. I don't believe in anything that I said today at the Kroger station in Lewisburg, Tennessee, was in any way ungodly. I basically called them to account and said, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves, every one of you. You're out here doing this, and other people need to go to work. And thankfully, the guy across the pump wasn't doing that. And he goes, you know, I'm a delivery driver. I'm glad you said that, because, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get back tonight. I got to go to Nashville. And he said, I'm putting in a little bit now. I don't know how I'll get back. And I just said, this right here drives me crazy. And the guy right there heard me go. And he goes, I have a small can, but I got to mow my lawn. I said, well, people got to go to work. But see, I mean, justifying. Doesn't everybody want to go? And right, but see, that's the problem. Well, I've got irritable bowel syndrome, so I need, you know, four extra big, huge 46-roll toilet paper things because, you know. But that's what happens, though. You justify if you're not careful. And then you end up standing there with the guy that's got the picture of the big 500-gallon thing on his trailer yesterday, filling it up at a gas station, going, well, you know, my car, it's missing, and it uses a lot of gas. And I might have a heart attack tomorrow. Well, the ambulance will take you. But you know, when you start you got to justify yourself if you're not careful. So what you've got to do is look at things and remember, when you're watching the world be the world, how do you as a Christian respond? Sometimes it merits saying something. In a sense, I saw a number of, by the way, these weren't young people. I would expect to see a bunch of young thugs doing that. No, these were people much my senior. They knew better than that. Come on. This is the generation that doesn't do that was doing it today. That's what I think made me, honestly, it made me mad. They should not be doing that. Difficult times will come. People are going to be lovers of self. Proud. Ungrateful, unholy. Unloving. Irreconcilable, slanders. Without self-control. Brutal. Without love for what is good. Traitors, reckless, conceited. You see how these words right there play into the mindset that enables itself to do that? Caring not for anybody else. It's all about me. I'm not worried about how they'll deal with things. I'll take care of me. The reason tonight's message is titled Unloving is you've got to recognize that we are in a generation that is literally termed, defined by being unloving. If you watch the news on any given night, it's story after story after story, not of people seeing and sharing how much they love each other. It's heartache and hurt and pain. I saw in the newspaper today, terrible yesterday, 6-year-old little boy. Guess the mom laid a gun out or whatever happened and shot himself, killed on accident. Mom was in the bathroom. I don't know anything about it, but I just know I couldn't imagine that mother had a 2-year-old and 8-year-old in the house, I believe, at the same time still. They didn't witness it. 6 years old on Anthony Lane, right there by Steve's shop at Davis Estates Apartments, I believe is where it happened at. 6 years old. So there's people hurting tonight. At the very same time, we got a bunch of numbskulls up at the gas station hoarding gas while a woman's broken, having lost a child. Think about it. She's in the height of her grief, and you got people running up to gas stations, gorging themselves on fuel to take care of themselves and them. We're in a weird place, aren't we, in time? Today, Dan Brown's down there, Planned Parenthood, trying desperately to rescue babies. While the world's running out, filling up fuel tanks. I didn't do anything different today than I normally did. I did tell them at home, cancel the kids' therapies this week. Don't do them because we don't need to be on the road extra, so you don't use extra gas. So I don't know what level of hurt, but I took things away from my family to not foolishly be using more of a resource so others can use more of it and we can conserve. That's what we should do. Do the right thing. When should you do the right thing? All the time. Will you do it all the time? No, sometimes you're not gonna. But I think it's important for us to recognize where the disconnect is, that we should be different than the world. There should be a differentiation between us. They should see something different about us. When they come over and they say, hey man, get all your gas tanks and head to the tank. We've got a big one in the neighborhood. We're going to get 1,000 gallons together. So, no, thank you. I don't want to be a part of that. Why not? What's wrong with you? Well, what about other people? You know, I don't want to just worry about us. I know there's other people that are going to need it. And there's got to be a voice of wisdom in our homes, in our relational circles, in us. By the way, just so there, I'll be clear, if you did that gas thing, I don't know it. No one told me if you did that today, so don't out yourself after the service, okay? Because I don't want to be mad at you. I'm serious. If you did that today, just call it a wash. Don't tell me, and we'll pretend like it never happened, and I don't ever want to find out. Actually, tell me as I'm dying one day, so I can get myself distracted as I'm laying on my deathbed. You give me something to go, what? I might be revived, as the Bible says, for a little bit. Please don't, seriously. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we should have a heart that's loving, not unloving. We should look at this list of things. You ready? Fewer and not more of these items should characterize us. Does that mean we're not going to ever struggle with any of them? No, I'm not telling you that. We're going to have battles. We're going to have struggles. But you shouldn't go in here and go, wow, man, I just made a 98 on this test. You had 98% of them. No, that's not a good thing. This is one time you want to fail this test, meaning you don't want to have these that you've checked. You don't want to be a person that is what? A lover of self. You don't want to be a lover of money. You don't want to be boastful. You don't want to be proud. You don't want to be a blasphemer. You don't want to be disobedient to your parents and ungrateful and unholy and unloving and irreconcilable and slanderous without self-control and brutal and without love for what's good. You shouldn't be a traitor. You shouldn't be reckless and conceited and a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. You shouldn't hold a form of godliness but deny its power. I'm going to start and stop with that one. What is a form of godliness but denying its power? I'll tell you what it is. Man, I just love God. It's so awesome. Man, in the Holy Spirit. Oh, now, wait a second. I don't go into that Holy Spirit stuff. I'm not Pentecostal. I don't really. You can be godly as godly is, but if your God has no power, I don't know what God you're serving. Because the God that I serve right now does what Ephesians 3:20 says, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. I hope that the salvation tonight that you have in your walk with Christ is one that is characterized by power. Now you might go, what does that mean? I mean, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you might not know what in the world you're doing prayer-wise. You just talk to the Lord and you realize that somebody's heard you and you know that that God heard you and will answer your prayer, though you may not completely in any way understand how it even works. You know that the God that you love, you serve, you honor, you glorify is a God of power. That is that as opposed to, well, I pray and nothing ever happens. God don't ever do nothing for me. Maybe it's just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm not praying right. I've been playing the lottery for 19 years. Been praying God would give you. I'd buy a new church. I'd pay off. I'd pave the parking lot. Been buying that Powerball with PowerPlay. And I don't know why God hadn't answered it yet. So I don't know what. I just hit the nail on the head. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the thing. You know, come on now. What are you praying for? God is not a genie in a bottle. And God ain't your get-rich-quick scheme. He's not mine. He's not a fairy. He's not a fairy tale. He's not something that you and I cry out to and make false and empty promises when you get yourself in trouble. He's a God that deserves all of our life, all of our prayer, all of our hope, all of our struggles, all of our burdens, all of our children, all of our money, all of our life. He deserves all of it. And if you're not getting anything, I would encourage you to do a checkup from the neck up, which means find out what's going on up here. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and the promises I will give you rest. Well, I come to him with heavy laden and burdened, and I don't ever get the rest. Oh, you think God's a liar? No, God ain't the liar. We are. You're evidently not coming to him with all your heaviness and your burdens and laying at his feet, because until you do, he cannot give you rest. Until you come and lay down what you have, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. What does that mean? You have to give him the burden, and I will give you rest. Next thing, take my yoke upon you and learn. For I am gentle and humble in heart. What? Promise? You will find rest for your souls. What does that yoking mean? You've got to yoke yourself to him. He's the stronger of the two. Then God leads. He guides. He directs us. But until we're yoked to him, where are we going to go? Where we want to go. We're going to find ourselves trying to say, God, this is how my life should be. We're going to find ourselves trying to write the script for the spiritual app, saying, well, God doesn't answer. God hadn't done this, hadn't done that. Well, really? How about, first of all, it's not in our time. God's got a much bigger plan and a much bigger purpose than you and I could begin to imagine. Stop looking at the fog in front of you and saying, well, I give up. And you might say, well, how can you say that? Don't talk to me about waiting on God. And I'm telling you, don't talk to me about, well, I've been doing this for, don't you dare. Because I did it for over 4 years solid in one stretch. Don't tell me what it's like when you pray and don't feel like God's answered. So that's why you're in good company. When sometimes you might think, God, I don't know why. I don't know why you haven't answered yet, but God, I know you're there. I know you're faithful. I know that you're on time. I know what it's like to be in a valley of decision. I know what it's like to be in a desert and think that God's not a million miles in any direction. I know. And I know what it's like in that moment to say, God, I don't feel like you're within a million miles of me in any direction, but God, I'm not going anywhere. I love you more now, Lord, than at that time when it felt like you were holding me like a child. because I know that the feeling I have right now has nothing to do with you, God. See, that's what I'm talking about. But the unloving sits back and starts to try to throw the weight of guilt on God. See, I don't know why God's abandoned me. I don't know why God's doing this to me. Why is God allowed? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You know what I know? That's a promise. That means it applies to all of us. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, now if you're not, yep, it won't work. But if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the promise tonight is that all things work together for good, qualifier, to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So if you're a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, and I don't care how bad your life looks, I don't care if it literally looks like the backside of a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert, the parking lot, or the place where they sat. And if you've ever been to something like that, you know what I'm talking about. It looks like an absolute Category 5 hurricane came through. And that's what I'm talking about spiritually. Sometimes our life can feel like, even better, Bonnaroo after they get done. Broken lawn chairs and everything else. Looks like a Category 5 came through. God knows what's going on. God's in control. And what is he going to do? His promise is to never leave, never forsake, and he'll answer your prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.